Welcome to Channels, the Next Flow podcast. You're listening to episode 27, going out on December 11th, 2023. My name is Geraldine, joining you from Boston, and joining me today is Phil.
Hi, everyone. My name is Phil. I'm coming to you from Stockholm in Sweden, in the depths of a Swedish winter. got a fun episode lined up for you, I hope.
Yeah, and today, since we're wrapping up the year ahead of the winter holiday, we thought we'd do kind of a highlights, a year in review of what happened in the Next Flow world in 2023. And so, Phil, if you can kick it off with what's been happening with the Next Flow community.
Yeah, so it's that time of year. We've just had the two Next Flow summits, one in Barcelona and one in Boston. And anyone who joined that in person or watched it online will have seen me give a community talk. So I've got numbers and stats coming out my ears, and it seemed like a good time to sort of use them and have a bit more time to kind of, a 20-minute talk with 10 minutes of introduction is a bit short. So it's a bit nice to have a podcast to sort of chat through it a bit more. And also something that's slightly less, but I've got a couple of graphs that I can show them for anyone who's watching a video. We've just been putting in a grant application for NFCore as well, so I made some new ones as well. But yeah, what we start with, I think, is probably the most important thing is that everything has been a fantastic year. We've gone strength to strength, right? Geraldine, you've joined us.
Big
milestone.
Yeah, just 5-6 weeks now, I think it's been. It's been absolutely lovely. It's a very welcoming community. I've had a lot to learn, but everybody's been very helpful and very patient as I get wrap my head around Next Flow from the technical side of things, but also kind of discover everything, all the really dynamic activities that are happening with NFCore and all of that. So. Why don't you show us how it's going?
I was just thinking, like, I wonder if I can read off this plot how many people have joined the community in those like 5 weeks. probably added about 500-600 people in that time or something. So this first one is, we've got some graphs here showing Twitter uses, so we're up to well past 4,000 people following NFCore now, X. And Slack is a big one. The Slack plot looks kind of weird because it jumps at the end. That's partly because Twitter broke their API, which broke all of our stats collection, and we didn't notice for a few months. It's also because Slack changed their billing policy. So now, it used to be you had to actually write a message to be classed as an active user, but now just logging in is enough. So suddenly we have a bigger chunk of active users, which looks impressive and costs us more money. it's pretty cool. We're up to just shy of 8,000 people on the NFCore Slack now, about 3,500, I think, off the top of my head, in the Next Flow Slack. So it's kind of crazy numbers. We've really blasted through that 10,000 limit now.
Yeah, that's really impressive. It's a really cool group of people who are doing all sorts of things with Next Flow.
And you can see, I mean, we've always got that big wedge of inactive users where people have logged in, asked a question, figured it out, and then kind of disappear again. But when you see that we've got, like, you know, and it's the bottom right here showing the number of people logging in. Around the training we did earlier this year, we had over 1,500 people logging into Slack within a 1 week window, which is just so cool. Yeah,
that's a lot. And there is a bit of an activation energy needed to join Slack. It's not just going to a website and doing stuff. People have to sign up. So the fact that so many people are actually doing it and joining, I think, is shows that they're actually into it. They get something out of it. It's cool.
Yeah. And then the big red letter number here, which we have, is the number of people viewing the Nextflow docs. And I sort of joke that this is probably a one-to-one relationship with the number of people using Nextflow, because it's difficult to use Nextflow without going to the docs, for better or for worse.
Yeah, I remember with the GHK community, we used to estimate the size of the user community based on the people who came to ask questions in the forum and who looked at the docs. And somebody pointed out, if more people are asking questions, that just means it's hard to use. It doesn't mean that there's necessarily, you know, so you gotta be a little careful with those numbers.
Exactly. You do too good a job and the numbers will look worse.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, north of 18,000, going on 20,000 unique people within a monthly there, which is kind of cool. This is a new one. I think I did citations, looked at the Nextflow and NF Core publications. We've both got their own Nature Biotech papers, and we're reaching up to 2,500 citations now, and kind of graph getting steeper and steeper every year, which is cool. So it's, that was surprised me actually how many, because I hadn't checked probably in a couple of years. I kind of like had doubled, nearly tripled in that time. And I did consider trying to extend this plot to include, because NF Core has quite a nice web page, if I show you quickly as well. So if I go to about, there's a page on the NF Core website called Publications under About, where we try and collect all the publications we know of about NF Core papers or anything else related. So if there's, by the way, if you're listening to this and you know of a paper about an NF Core pipeline that's not here, please come and add it. So you can see there's a ton of papers here. I did think about trying to show all the citation metrics for all of these combined, but well, the truth is I was too lazy to sit down and do it all.
Well, life is short. Cool. It's kind of cool because if you think about citations, it's kind of a lagging indicator because it takes so much time for people to write their papers, get the papers out and so on. So it kind of strikes me whenever I see numbers like that, it's like the number we're at right now is likely quite a bit higher just because it lags a bit. But it's good. Like if people are citing those papers and so on, that's really good. Because I found that sometimes it can be difficult to get credit for some open source projects just because people don't always realize the importance of citing the tools that they use. There's a gray area of, like, nobody cites the operating system that their laptop runs.
I was going to say that because Nextflow sits quite low in the stack, kind of, you know, it's an orchestrator. It's not really doing much itself. Whereas I've said in my multi-QC talk the other day that, like, I think that gets almost more citations than it deserves in a weird way, because it's the thing that the scientist is reading and looking at as they're building the paper often. That does quite well with citations. But the fact that Nextflow is pulling in this many is... yeah, it's a good indication.
Yeah, very good.
So I've got Matthias Herdenuber from NF Core. I was hassling him to help me with some of these plots, and he put one together, which is very cool, showing the number of NF Core modules and sub workflows over time. So he like scraped the Git history, basically, like did a loop over every single commit in the NF Core modules repo, counting how many modules there were over time, and then plotted that. So that goes back to, so we started off in 2020. I was surprised there were so many back in 2020, actually. We already had over 300 back then. But now we're up to over, 1,100, which is crazy. So modules are the building blocks of NF Core pipelines. So it's like usually a single process, a wrapper around a single tool, a single command, and then you can kind of assemble them pretty quickly with the NF Core tooling. So there's a library out there of over 1,000 different...
It's a really cool concept, having that as part of the kind of a toolkit that you can just pull, and all of these commonly used bioinformatics tools are just pre-wrapped for your use. I think it's fantastic. It just saves so much time. Because imagine if people independently went and wrote their own little wrapper each time. It's just...
And here you've got the community testing, you've got the Docker and the Conda images sorted, you've got all that stuff rolled into it. And we always had the, you always knew that NF Core pipelines are not going to fit everyone's use case. But now people who fit into that category can still build with NF Core, which I love. It's kind of becomes a framework. It's more than just a list of pipelines. And the final one here is the pipelines themselves. So I was hoping we'd get to 100 by the end of the year. We haven't quite made it.
There's
97 or something.
There's still 3 weeks. I've been meaning to write an example pipeline just, to exercise my new Nextflow skills. NF Core,
I think there are a bunch of people sat in the queue waiting in the new pipelines channel, actually. So if we actually got around to adding all of the ones which are waiting to be added, then we might hit 100 before the end of the year.
Well, there you go. We can do it.
Should have done it. And there's a number here saying 1,000 pipelines built with the NF Core template, where I basically took a random comment in the template and searched GitHub for it and found about 1,000 repos, which is cool. A lot of those will be forks and stuff, but even so, forks are sometimes kind of viable pipelines because a lot of people take NFCore pipelines, fork them and mess around with them to fit their use case. And then final one was just, that's collaborating institutions. I don't think we update this page enough. It's the NFCore community page. So it's like, again, it's under, which one is it? Can't find it now. Under the NFCore webpage, it's one of these contributors. There we go. So yeah, if you go to about and then contributors, you've got a bunch of GitHub faces, and then you've got this map with all these different institutes. But the thing about this one is it's actively sign up, so people have to voluntarily go and create a pull request rather themselves. So I think it's a massive underrepresentation. And the fact that there are still so many logos here is kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's really impressive. So is that typically like there's at least one bioinformatician there who's or computational scientist, right? Because it's not just bio, but is that like there's institutional involvement or what's qualifying here is that there are members of that institution who are engaged.
Yeah, you just have to go and edit this file, which is a big YAML file, and just basically add a location and your name. So usually we try and make sure that there's a contact person, because the original idea was that if you were interested in using NFCore, you could go and see this webpage. This was when the NFCore website was much smaller. You could go and find your institute and be like, oh, we're already using it here. And like, you know, Mathieu Foll is at the IARC, and I can go and like pester him to find out about NFCore.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how it started off. But
That's a really neat idea, though, because sometimes people find themselves, they don't realize there's somebody else at the same institution who's using it, and they feel isolated. And there's actually somebody three offices down that they could go talk
exactly.
to.
And especially when we have like the shared configs and stuff, where we have institutional configs. So often people, if there's a bit of Nexo momentum in your institute already, maybe you've got an institutional cluster, there's often already a config file that someone else has made and shared, which you can just like use straight away. So if you know about it, it's great.
Yeah, I recently stumbled across that page and I was like, oh, that is really convenient. That's something that in my previous life we didn't have. And people would, you know, write in and ask, do you have, can you help me set up the back end for this execution engine? And yeah, we don't know, you know, figure it out. But this is really neat to have all these examples that are shared. That's very cool.
And this page is quite new, actually. It's something I was going to come on to later, but we've done a lot of work on the NFCore website this year. And this page listing all the shared configs is new, and it's much easier to browse. So now you can just go onto the website and kind of search for, you know, your cluster and find it very quickly and read all the documentation. So it's much more findable. Whereas before, you'd have to like know that there was a repository and go and click around in it and stuff. The other thing this is really useful for, if you do go to the repository, if you're building your own config file, you've basically got a repository of hundreds of config files that other people have already made. So if you're like, oh, how do I use cluster options or something, you can kind of search for it. And here we've got like 47 examples of someone else who's written a valid config file using this. And you can kind of go through there for inspiration and stuff and be like, oh, look, this person is automatically setting their HPC queue that they're submitting to based on whether they're using GPUs, you know, stuff like that. So it's actually really, really handy.
That's very cool. And are those submitted by members of the community? Just people can submit to say, this is what we use at my institution?
Yeah. So this is it's just a repo. You just open a pull request.
Yeah.
And then if you look in the NFCore template, see how fast I can find this. The way it works is, so because it's in the template, it's in all NFCore pipelines. If I go to the main config file, and then if I go down to here, there's an include config statement, which pulls in the remote NFCore configs repo, basically. So basically every NFCore pipeline, every time you run it, it's fetching all of these remote configs. And then if you specify minus profile upmax, which isn't that shared config file, it will use it, which is great, because it means if you need to tweak something or add your institute, you add it in one place and all NFCore pipelines immediately can use it with no lag time. Whereas in the very start of NFCore, you had to wait for it to all propagate through pipeline releases and stuff, which was slow. So yeah, Nice. Very nice. And if you do nfcore download, it downloads the configs so it doesn't use the internet.
Very cool.
Anyway, that was a bit of a tangent, sorry.
Yeah, we should have just made an episode about nfcore.
About configs, yeah.
This is your favorite topic, Phil. Your favorite topic in the world, right? Possibly.
Does it show?
A little bit. So moving on to a different topic, do you want to... Oh, wait, the next topic is nfcore too.
Sorry.
That's all right. Did you want to talk about the grant applications you've been putting together?
Yeah, so I mean, that's kind of what these stats were from, is from the grant applications. So we've previously done very well with the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, the CZI. They have a fantastic grant round called EOS, Essential Open Source for Science. So we applied in cycle one, but didn't get it, but we did get it in cycle two. And then we got awarded it again in cycle four, and alongside cycle four also got one for diversity and inclusion, which actually was the initial funding that took me to Sakura and created a community team, which you're now part of. That funding expired in September this year. So through all those plots I was just showing you there from the application that we just submitted on Tuesday night. So yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah. When will we hear back to find out?
We'll hear back fairly soon, like January or February or something. And if we get any money, fingers crossed, if all goes well, then I think that will come through middle of 2024. So
wonderful.
So we'll see.
Let's hope for some good news to start the year then. All right. Very good. Well, speaking of nfcore, I believe there's been some changes, some interesting evolution in the nfcore governance model. Could you give us a kind of a highlight about that?
This takes us kind of back to the start of 2023, really, and it's one of these things that's fairly easy to fly under the radar. I think we might have touched on it in earlier podcast episodes, but I was thinking about recapping all of 2023, and I think it deserves a mention. So right at the end of 2022, actually, we had the first ever retreat for the core team from nfcore, and we all came to Sweden and spent a few days sat in a meeting room at SciLife Lab chatting about big picture stuff. And one of the things was that we had very, very flat organizational structure and we wanted to kind of firm it up a little bit. And so we drew on a whiteboard and came up with basically this. And this is now the on the nfcore website again under About and Governance. We came up with this kind of little mermaid diagram with the different teams, the core team being the one that was already there. And we basically tried to format a governance structure based around the teams that we already had organically had. Mm. So we already had a bunch of people who were writing grant applications and stuff. And so we just said, okay, let's call those people for steering committee. We already had the core team. We already had some volunteers to be safety representatives. And we already had people who focused their time on infrastructure and stuff like that. So we formed these groups around that and then kind of made it official around the start of 2023 or so. And I think it's been working really well. We have the maintainers team. It's quite big. It's kind of 30 or 40 people, I think. And there's like a monthly maintainers meeting. So if you're doing a lot of work with nfcore and you're curious, look it up. There's a Slack channel called Maintainers. You could just ask to join and add yourself to this webpage. Likewise for outreach. And if you scroll down this page, you can see all the different people in the various teams. There's also been some changes in actual people in the team. So this year, Alex, for example, he's co-founded at nfcore with me back right at the start. He's in the steering committee and he's dropped out of the core team due to time constraints. What else is new? Edmund, he joined the core team just like a few weeks ago. So he's a new addition. He'd been in the outreach team for ages, but he's now like sort of moved up into the core team. Any other changes this year? Can't remember when people joined and stuff. But yeah. So I think it's quite interesting. It's a bit of a behind the scenes look as to how we organize ourselves.
No, I think it's good. I think it's good for an organization like this, which, I mean, it's a project that's all volunteer based, right? Everybody's here just donating time to this project that they believe in. But when the project starts growing a little bit, you have to start formalizing some of the processes and so on. And so I think this seems like a good direction for, you know, groups to be formed based on actual things people are already doing, as opposed to trying to over-engineer. Because I've seen that happen a bit.
Yeah,
This is good.
The only thing we're sort of lacking at the moment is any sort of formal process for being added to or being removed from groups. There's no like terms. There's no, you know, you obviously could go down to voting, all kinds of other things. We try to keep it as lightweight as possible. Like you say, we generally don't pretty flat hierarchy in NFCore and kind of more focused on just getting on and doing stuff. And so I'm fairly happy with that, but we do need to make sure that it feels accessible to people. And if people want to get more involved, there's a clear path to doing that. So that's, if anything that's left to work on here, I think that's probably it, is to have a sort of documented way of accessing that.
Yeah, because like how things get done and that makes sense. So you're not bidding for the title of benevolent dictator for life.
It has been bandied around, but no.
I would think so.
I've done my hardest to be replaceable, actually, and then I've got from the start, so I would not. I never want to be indispensable.
Well, I mean, we'll see how that goes. I think that's good. So, all right, so that's kind of all the meta things that have been happening in Nextflow and NFCore. Let's talk a little bit about some of the actual content assets, things like that. I saw that there's a bunch of new pipelines that have been added just over the course of this year. Do you want to walk us through kind of the highlights of that?
I was chatting to Julia and Matthias this morning, and we were talking about, I was like, which pipe, because it's, you know, there's new pipelines being added all the time. I was like, which pipelines actually hit their first release this year? And Julia, like, quick as a flash, we have the pipelines.json file sitting on the NFCore website, which lists every pipeline and every release and every date. And she scraped it and returned all the a list of pipelines that had a 1.0 release in 2023. The list is pretty long. Let's see, there's not too many. So we had a kind of bunch of genomics E pipelines, CRISPR-seq, differential abundance, which is we've been talking about for years, had its debut in 2023 for doing differential expression analysis from RNA-seq, but also working with ATAC-seq and ChIP-seq outputs. There's NanoString, which Alex has been working on again for years, that's come out of BI. Rare disease had 1.0 release. RNA splice for splicing analysis. MarsSeq for doing this plate-based technique that works with FACS on rare populations of cells. So, and then we had sort of ones which were a bit more metagenomics-y and kind of a bit less human genomics, maybe. We had the pangenome pipeline that was talked about quite a lot, especially at the Barcelona summit, by Simon Humos, who's one of the main developers for pangenome, but also our keynote speaker, Eric, he talks about pangenomics a lot. It's a hot topic. So that one, sorry, go on.
Yeah, and I was going to say, in Boston, our keynote was also Adam Phillippe, focusing also on pangenome. So that was kind of interesting, two different viewpoints on kind of the same, I mean, very complementary on topic of pangenomes, which is a very exciting one if you're in the genomics space proper.
Both of them on YouTube as well, so check them out if you didn't watch them. Adam gave a brilliant introduction to why pangenomes are cool, and Eric did a very detailed like how pangenomes are made, which is fascinating. Anyway, and then there's also PhiloPlace, which is to do with placing a series of genomic sequences into like a phylogenetic tree. FunkScan for looking for functional genes such as antimicrobial peptides and antibiotic resistant genes. Tax Profiler along with it. Okay, we're nearly at the end. This is a cool one, Pixelator. So this is there's a company in Stockholm called Pixelgen, which is a startup company. It's kind of just come out of stealth pretty much this year, and they've launched, they make a kit for doing spatial genomics. So they is to do with kind of tagging which proteins are physically close to one another on the cell surface, but it's an NGS technique using DNA sequencing. So they just started selling their first kit, and Alvaro, who works there, is, I go back some way with him, and he's very pro open science and open source, and he loves Nextflow and NFCore. So quite a while ago, we chatted like, okay, how could they be involved with NF Core and make all their analysis stuff open source? And so I think this is the first time we've had an NF Core pipeline developed by a company, like purely for like that company's kit, which is very cool because they're selling that kit commercially, but all the bioinformatics is all totally open source and it's a proper community NF Core pipeline. So really nice to see that launch, and hopefully you can be a bit of a trailblazer for other companies who might do similar work.
Yeah, hopefully kind of a model. It'd be great. I'd love to see kind of companies do that kind of that work of making their methods available in this kind of resource, for sure.
Exactly. And it opens it up for community contributions, mm-hmm. and, you know, makes it more transparent so people actually understand what's going on. And, you know, because everything's pipelines MIT, I think the underlying software they put on Bioconda. So, yeah, it's very cool. ProteinFold, that was a big one. Doing protein structure predictions using AlphaFold. So again, that takes us outside of the realm of genomics, which is nice. More and more proteomics pipelines and people working with protein. And that's something we're seeing. I think 2023 has been a big year for that, actually kind of broadening the scope of NF Core. Proteomics, we've had a few proteomics pipelines for a while, but starting to see more and more proteomics community kind of showing up. And this year especially, we've had quite a lot of microscopy people. Mm. In the 2022 summit, there was a great talk by, I've forgotten his name, begins with a K. You can see his face perfectly, about microscopy analysis using NextFlow. And that for me was kind of a great kickstart, like signal that microscopy could really work with NextFlow. I need to go and Google it now. But we've got three pipelines in dev in NF Core now. None of them have got a first release, but MC Micro, Molcart, and Spatial Transcriptomics, all of these pipelines are using NextFlow to do analysis of imaging data from microscopy. So Spatial Transcriptomics works with data from 10x Genomics Visium. Molcart is molecular cartography data, and MC Micro is multi-channel whole slide images of single cell data. MC Micro is kind of its own NextFlow community that's come into NF Core, so that's really nice because they bring a lot of people and expertise with them.
Yeah, it's very cool to see the kind of the expansion to other sub-disciplines or disciplines, depending on how you want to characterize things. I used to assume that it was just for biology and genomics specifically, because that's where that started. But at this point, it's going well beyond and. As far as I understand, there's also other sciences entirely that have started adopting NextFlow.
It was Conrad. Sorry, Conrad. Conrad Rukiki. I knew it was a K. great talk about image processing with NextFlow. There you go. On YouTube if anyone's curious. Exactly. I mean, everyone assumes it's genomics and bioinformatics because, you know, 95% of NF Core pipelines are. But that's kind of just an accident, really. It's just that's where we started. NextFlow's got some stuff which is tailored to genomics. It fits genomics well, but there's nothing specific to it. There's nothing that limits it to genomics work. And we're starting to see pickup in other... there are other, especially scientific fields, which kind of have similar data footprints and different, similar kind of analysis workflow needs, which are starting to pick up NextFlow.
It amuses me because for a long time genomics was described as like it's biological data on the astronomical scale, and now we've got astronomy pipelines that are joining the fun. So I was like, oh, there is truly a kind of similarity.
Going full circle. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, so astronomy down in Australia mostly is like Nick Swainston, for example, is a key driver here, has been doing a lot of work with NextFlow, and they actually ran this carpentries training course for NextFlow, but with all the examples and everything is focused on using NextFlow within astronomy. It's really fun to see this. It's one of the first times I've seen this kind of thing come out for communities. We'll link to this in the show notes if you're curious. So that popped up last year, maybe, I think, or at the start of this year. But now, as of only a couple of days ago, actually, he's done more and more work on his NextFlow analysis pipeline and has just submitted a proposal to the new pipelines channel to add it properly to NF Core. It's called a MIR pipe for doing pulsar timing data processing from Meerkat data. Meerkat's this huge radio telescope.
So not the actual animal, forest biologists. No.
Maybe they can tell, they can detect pulsars as well, but
meerkat genomics, I don't know. It's confusing. Yeah.
And there's more, it's not just pulsars either. We've also had another one that came in from Felix Kummer at Humboldt University in Berlin. He's just put in a request on new pipelines as well for his pipeline, which is called Rangeland. And that's not astronomy, but it has got a space link because it's using satellite imagery to and so that pipeline's for looking at vegetation dynamics.
Interesting.
So like looking at herbaceous and woody vegetation and vegetation developments within satellite imagery. So again, you can sort of see it might be overlap with the microscopy pipelines here because it's lots of image tiling and stitching and
finding. That's kind of cool if you think about it, that there's like microscopy where it's like the tiniest things that we're looking at, and then you know, stars and planets and the surface of the Earth being tiled, and it's like on a very macro scale, and it's the same underlying software can handle that. It's I don't know, at a meta level, that kind of amuses me a lot. I think that's exactly. Cool.
Yeah. So I think it's really cool, and long may it continue. We had a great talk at the summit 2023 Barcelona by Jacob Zeitler. I think we're going to try and get him on for a podcast at some point. He's working with Nexfo in material science, so it's fun. There's more and more of these kind of different things coming out out of the woodwork, and interested to see what people can use it for.
Yeah, very cool. So that kind of I think completes our tour of new pipelines and kind of domains. Lots been happening.
I'll be testing you on a list of pipeline names later.
Gosh. I'm just climbing all the time here. That wasn't in the interview. Yeah, well, I mean, we've got all these pipelines, but there's all of this requires quite a lot of infrastructure to develop and test and all of that. Can you give us a tour of what's new in infrastructure development?
Yeah. So on the NF Core side, there's been a lot of work. So anyone who's not familiar with NF Core, developing with NF Core, we've got like a CLI command line tool called NF Core. You do pip install NF Core, and it does kind of, it helps you to develop your Nexfo pipeline and interacts with all this tooling that we've got within NF Core and this framework. And so one of the first things we did was to use it to create pipelines from the NF Core template. So you have NF Core create to make yourself a new pipeline. When we added modules, the shared modules, we added a bunch of subcommands for modules. So you do NF Core modules install, I think. And also if you're writing a new module, it's NF Core modules create. And it creates a module from a modules template, and so on and so on. So that's had a lot of work, but what's been a big push in 2023 has been sub workflows. And sub workflows are this kind of middle ground between modules and full pipelines. So there's no logic about parameters and usage or anything like that. But if you have a chunk of a pipeline, which is fairly common, I think one of the first use cases was the rare disease pipeline, which has got a lot in common with SARAC, which is doing whole genome and cancer sequencing. But the way you use it is very different. And so we wanted to have separate pipelines, but you know, about a third of the pipeline was going to be the same as SARAC. And so that's where sub-workflows are ideal, because you can have the logic and stitch all the modules together and collaborate on that level. And then stick it into both pipelines. And if anyone does any updates, you can pull those updates very quickly. Just do NF Core sub workflow updates.
Yeah, and that can save a lot of time too, and of not reinventing the wheel, not rewriting the wheel, plus kind of the maintainability on the long term, and being able to, if you have related pipelines, that you can kind of keep them in sync. In a really easy way. I love it.
And that's what NF Core is all about, is not reinventing the wheel and kind of collaborating. Mm-hmm. So this is very much in the right vein for that. So yeah, on the infrastructure side, there's basically, I think it was a retreat where we really kickstarted that back at the end of 2022, about deciding about what sub workflows should look like and how they should be structured. And then during 2023, a lot of the tooling has been built in. And so now there is this sub-workflow, sub-commands, which Julie and Matthias have done loads of work on, and others as well as Nicholas. So you can do, create, and it creates one from a template, and install and update, and it does all this stuff, and it has this JSON file to track all the modules and all the versions and everything. And basically, you don't really need to think very much about it. It just works. Just works.
Is there a big button that I can push to start my analysis?
Not far off, yeah.
I mean, if you set it up on your little Stream Deck device there,
we were talking about that the other week.
Yeah.
Exactly. Push button bioinformatics.
Honestly.
Like, update, run.
Yeah.
Not quite there, but it certainly speeds up development speed hugely. Especially when you can, like, another common one is, like, I want Sarek, but I don't want all that other stuff that comes with Sarek. And so, you know, you can just create your own pipeline, but pull in the sub workflows which you're interested in. Within, 10 minutes, you can build a pretty comprehensive pipeline, mm-hmm. and then just wire it up with your own kind of parameters and usage that you want.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And all of that is extensively tested, of course, right?
Right. Yeah, no, it is. I mean, we do a lot of continuous integration tests on NF Core. At the start, we just ran the pipelines with small test data sets. Anyone who's added a new pipeline will know that often finding a small enough test data set is one of the trickier parts, but it's quite important. And then since before even DSL2, it's one of the earliest Nextflow meetings back in like 2017-18, I remember talking about unit testing. It wasn't really possible at the time, but then DSL2 came out, and now we have all these modules. And one of the key drivers for the modules was, like, okay, we can test each individual module now and actually have unit testing as well as kind of end-to-end testing of the whole pipeline. And so we've had that now since we did it, since we set up modules, and we always used a tool called PyTest Workflow, which has worked very well. But it has its limitations. It doesn't know that it's running Nextflow. And so, especially if you've got any kind of functions or groovy code you've written into your pipeline, it was very difficult to test any of that. I can't remember when it was actually, maybe 2022, it was first released, this new tool from outside the NF Core community. It was called NF Test. And it was exactly what a lot of people have been asking for, a testing framework for Nextflow. Basically we loved it. So one of the big things for NF Core this year has been adopting NF Test at pipeline level, at module level, and at sub workflow mm-hmm. level. So all of these different kind of stages of NF Core frameworks now increasingly come with NF Test, and it was a big focus of our two hackathons this year. At Barcelona and Boston was basically converting everything into NF Test, which is, we have over 1,000 modules, so it's a long process, but going surprisingly quickly. Yeah, it's very nice, really nice tool if you're interested. Yeah.
Am I wrong to? I feel like I remember thinking, oh, we're about halfway on the pipelines, like that about 50% of the pipelines had been.
A good question. I don't know.
I could be wrong. Maybe that's I feel like I saw a number that suggested that. We'll check that and put it in the show notes. This is great progress, and that's something that people can contribute to NF Core by doing, right? They can just go and make pull requests and add it.
And again, it comes back to the infrastructure as well. I mean, one of the latest commands that's just been added into the dev branch of the tools package is commands for generating NF Test files, which will look at the module you've written and scaffold out an NF Test file. And I think I think Julia's just done a command which will take a PyTest config and basically convert that into a NF Test config.
Oh, that's clever.
If you're doing 1,000 modules, is a bit of a lifesaver.
Oh, no kidding. Even if you have to do a little bit of tweaking or anything like that, it's, that's really useful. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the kind of stuff that goes on in the infrastructure team. It's making everyone else's life a bit easier. I mean, NF Test, it's just some great stuff. One of my favorite things is it does snapshot testing, where you just sort of say, you take a snapshot of a set of results and you just check that And it can be MD5s of files, it can be contents of files, it can be the number of tasks that run, it can be all kinds of different things. And you just check that things haven't changed. And then if stuff has changed and you know it's changed because you've made a change to the workflow, you just tell NFTest to update the snapshot. And then you make a pull request and you see a nice diff on that snapshot file and you can see it and validate it. And it's just so much faster to work with. It's really good.
Nice. It certainly beats just manually rerunning everything and checking if the file is the same.
Absolutely.
Cool. All right. Any other infrastructure updates that you want to highlight?
Yeah. So I touched on it earlier, the new NF Core website. There's not really much to show with the screen share here because it deliberately basically looks the same as the old website. But behind the scenes, it's been a complete, from the ground up, rewrite. Massive push by Matthias at Nubo, and it's been going on pretty much all year. So this time last year, everything was running on my personal server with PHP scripts and stuff, and it was a bit of a black box. Whereas now everything's been rewritten with Astro, which is one really nice up-and-coming framework for building pipelines, static site generator mostly. We have some really nice features like automated previews. So now if you create a pull request against the NF Core website with some changes, you get an automated comment and you can just click on the link and see the finished product to make sure the markdown's rendering properly.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to use that. I made a minor update to something and being able to see the preview was like, oh, this is really cool. This is very helpful. I mean, I still managed to make some kind of... I forgot a closing tag somewhere, which you fixed.
But then it's fine. So you just push a new commit and the preview updates, and it's great. And anyone who's done a quiz at the NF Core Hackathon knows how difficult it is to get your markdown link syntax brackets correctly. So it's nice to see the preview.
Yep.
Yeah. And there's also the other big one is a site-wide search. Because there's a lot of documentation on the NF Core website. It's not organized very well. That will be a big push for 2024, I think, is to redo the architecture of the NF Core website and make everything a bit easier to find. But until then, at least now we have a site-wide search, which we never had before. So you can hit Command-K and just start typing, and it will be searching thousands and thousands of web pages for you. And that's powered by Algolia. Because we're open source, they give it to us for free, and it's super powerful.
Nice. And honestly, people nowadays just search for everything, right? I'm still old school. I like to go in the relevant category and kind of go through the phone book kind of model of things. But most of the newer generations, it's just like, it's like the Google search generation of just, you go and you type your thing and... Not even going to the NF Core website necessarily, by the way. But if you get there, there is now a nice search function. So,
well done. And it's super bad. The only time it doesn't work very well is if you don't know what it is that you should be searching for. If you're completely new to NF Core and you're like, what is this thing? Then searching is not really going to help you. But if you're looking for reference material, it's super fast.
Yeah. And Phil, what do you do if you don't know what you're searching for? You go to Slack.
All right, okay.
Come on, that was an easy one. You go to Slack and you ask a human, and the human will help you.
Yeah, exactly. And you ask them when the website redesign is going to be finished.
Oh, well. Yeah. All right. Anything else on the infrastructure front?
Yeah, what else? A big one is Julia. So, all right, it's a bit of context here. Within NF Core we had parameters to power up our workflows, and a while ago, back probably around 2020, we came up with this idea of having a Nexto schema file, which is based on JSON schema to describe all of these parameters and importantly give them types. So if you try and submit a string when it should be an integer, it would recognize that rather than trying to run the whole pipeline and crashing three quarters of the way through. We also like build the website off it and the CLI help and the rich launch interfaces and other stuff. There's other podcasts and talks and bite-sized talks and stuff about the schema. But all that code had just been kind of in the NF Core template, I started with a schema, and we had a guy working on NF Core a while back called Kevin, who was on one of the first CZI grant. He built a lot of that custom Groovy code as functions, which sat in the lib directory. And Julia took over from Kevin when he left, and was working on that. And it had been a long-term aim of mine to try and bring that, kind of graduate it out of NF Core, so that it was easier for other people building Nextflow pipelines who are not using the NF Core template to benefit from the same stuff. This year we finally did it. Well, I say we, Julia did it, and she spun up a new plugin, a Nextflow plugin, which is called NF Validation, with this nice kind of logo over here, and basically it started off as just being that those lib functions pulled out, but it started becoming a lot more actually, and so it does do the validation, but it also does other stuff. And so one of the things we added in is you can now have, we have a main schema for the parameters, but you can also have schema for sample sheets or input files. Mm-hmm. So in the parameter you say this parameter is a file and it has its own schema, which you can find here. And NF validation is clever about that, so it can validate the input files which you're giving it as well as just the parameters. And what I think is really cool is a lot of work from Niklas as well with Julia on this, is that you can work with, so you can validate sample sheets and you can create channels from sample sheets. So this plugin actually adds a new Nextflow channel factory called from sample sheet. So if you've done all the stuff with the JSON schema files in your pipeline, you just say channel from sample sheet and give it the name and a parameter. And it knows that parameter from Nextflow schema. It knows where the schema file is because that's in that JSON schema, and it knows everything about the file, and it will just magically work with like just that, which is so cool. And it just cuts out a huge amount of boilerplate out of the NF Core or Nextflow pipelines. And so now you just include the plugin, say from sample sheet input, and then you just have your channel ready to go, and it, you know, off you go, and it has your, you can tell it to have a metadict, which is a typical way of kind of handling metadata in NF Core pipelines with the sample identifiers and custom keys with metadata, and then you've got your samples, and it just builds that whole structure for you. Really nice.
Yeah, that's really nifty. You know, it makes me want to annotate podcast episodes with the number of times somebody says, and now it just works.
That's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, that's great.
Another thing I did as well is I took the opportunity of when we span this out to actually document the schema, which in 3 years I'd never done. So I actually just sat down and was like, okay, we have all these custom keys. This is what they are, and this is what they should look like. And that random one called FA icon is a non-standard key, and this is how you should use it. So, yeah.
Actually document things. It's a good idea. I like it. People should do that more.
Yeah. And if you really want to blow up your head, you can, what I did just the other day is I made a schema for our schema. So I have a JSON schema to validate our Nextflow schema, which is probably one of the most complicated pieces of JSON I've ever had the pleasure of authoring.
That sounds very meta. Syntax.
It was extremely meta. So we might start using that at some point. We'll see. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yep. Cool. NF validation, check it out. But it comes with the NF Core template. So if you're using NF Core tooling, it just is magically there already.
Nice. Very cool. All right.
Yeah, and I wanted also to mention on the line, because this is a plugin, right? This is not Core Nextflow. So you still have to do, there was that thing I briefly hovered over where it said include, and that's including the plugin.
And plugins, just for people who aren't super familiar, it's like you can have a piece of code that's Nextflow code that performs some kind of function that's not part of the Core Nextflow itself, but you can load into your workflow, basically.
And augments Nextflow. This was, Paolo introduced this into Nextflow probably a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was actually partly to because Nextflow is getting very big, it started to support a lot of stuff. And so certain core parts of Nextflow functionality, he shifted out into plugins so that it could be slightly detached with the release cycle and iterate a bit faster, and also keep the main Nextflow code base a bit slimmer, a bit more streamlined. And so it's kind of sat there for quite a while, a bit under the radar, because everything carried on working the same as it did before, even if it was a bit easier for the maintainers. But yeah, it's kind of starting to be picked up now. You can go to the Nextflow.io/plugins repo, and at the moment it's a big JSON file. It's probably going to be made into something a bit nicer soon. But it has this whole list there that anyone can add to of different Nextflow plugins. So NF validation now is there with all the different releases. Big one this year is NF Prov. So that's a provenance plugin, which was started by Bruno Grand in the 2022 Summit Hackathon. And now he was at Sage by Sciences, and we've taken that over at Secure under the Nextflow flag now. So it's like a kind of core Nextflow plugin, if that makes sense. And that does provenance reporting. So you run your Nextflow workflow and it spits out this JSON file at the end saying, these are all the different files which were generated. And Ben has done a bunch of work on that. So it can do BCA format now by a compute object, which is recognized by the FDA in the US, and also does RO crate, which is a very similar standard used in Europe a lot. So yeah, that's quite exciting. And then it's been picked up by some companies as well. So Memverge, they do a lot of extra functionality on top of cloud computing to do with, like, if you have a Spot instance which is going to be reclaimed, it can checkpoint it and then resume it elsewhere, so you don't have to rerun the whole job, stuff like that.
Oh yeah, I was really excited to see that at the Barcelona Summit. It's very cool talk, because it's like, if you have a big pipeline and you use Spot instances or preemptibles on GCP a lot, it makes it a lot cheaper to run your pipeline. But the problem is, like, your VMs can be taken away from you with, like, very minimal heads up. So if I understand correctly, their system makes it possible to, as you say, checkpoint and basically recover from the point of where the computation stopped, as opposed to having to restart the computation from that step.
Yeah, exactly. So AWS gives you a few minutes warning that your Spot instance is going to be reclaimed. So Memverge can respond to that, checkpoint the whole instance, and then move it over to a different instance and just continue where it left off. Whereas normally Nextflow would fail, and Nextflow would resubmit it and start again from scratch. You don't have to resubmit that many times before Spot instances start getting a bit more expensive again. So anyway, they wrote that as a new executor for Nextflow. So instead of using executor AWS batch, use executor Memverge, and they did that in a plugin which they can control and develop themselves.
Cool.
And, Quilt Data did something very similar. So they've got a plugin called NF Quilt, which again takes Nextflow pipeline outputs and publishes them as Quilt Data packages.
I love that there's this ecosystem of companies that are making this useful functionality just as add-ons. It's very cool.
Yeah, exactly. And it sort of ties into, you don't have to do anything different. Even as a pipeline developer, people can use this in your pipelines or not, and you don't have to do anything because it can just be done via config file. So it really makes it super easy both for developers and for end users to add on functionality.
Yeah, and the portability across different infrastructure hopefully increases, because that's one of the things that's been touted of an example of these workflow languages and workflow systems, that you can have the same pipeline and port it across multiple different infrastructures, and you don't have to rewrite the pipeline for the infrastructure, right? The devil is in the details, so and so that doesn't always, so far that hasn't always worked as smoothly as kind of you'd like. But I feel like that's getting better with this kind of innovation.
Yeah, hopefully. I think Nextflow's got a pretty good rep for that. A lot of people do success. I mean, NF Core wouldn't exist if it wasn't pretty seamless to do that.
Yeah,
so
true.
Absolutely. I mean, especially with companies with custom setups like this, they can now kind of build plugins to add Nextflow support without having to necessarily kind of contribute to the main Nextflow code base, which is faster for everybody. And
and it's good that they're not blocked by whatever are the development priorities of the core
release cycle.
That's really good. Cool. I think that gets us to the end of our infrastructure updates. I believe.
We had a bunch more stuff here, but I think we're going to run out of time.
Yes, we are very rapidly running out of time. We've had a number of community updates. Pick two.
what can I talk about? Mentorships was a big thing in 2023, funded by the CZI grant that I mentioned earlier. Big hats off to everyone who was involved with that. It was a massive success. We had way oversubscribed for people wanting to take part as mentees. We had 100 odd applications for 10 places in each of the three that we did. But that went really, really well. Lots of positive feedback. So we're looking to repeat that in 2024 if we can, and if we can kind of make all the pieces fit together. So yeah, mentorships, training, we had been pushing it out on YouTube so it can continue to scale. I think in March we had over 1,000 people sign up to do training, which is just crazy. And like I said, over 1,500 people active on Slack in that 1 week. So it's that they really were showing up and doing the training. Which is super, super cool. Yes, I meant to only pick two. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, well, I will say the ambassadors, so we launched the ambassadors program this year. We'll be talking about that more in January when we pick things up again. There's a lot of really exciting stuff happening on that front, but we'll talk about it in more detail. Let's also talk about the upcoming events because we have three big ones, and I want to make sure people keep pencil things into their calendar. We have a hackathon tentatively scheduled for March, and of course, hackathon. Can you give us the elevator pitch?
So broadly speaking, the way we're going is having kind of two in-person events a year, which are tied together: Nextflow Summit with NF Core Hackathon, one in Europe and one in North America. But we didn't want to kind of give up the online hackathon because there's a lot of people who can't travel or can't attend. And the online hackathon has always been super. We sort of started doing that during COVID, but it's been super popular and really helps kind of outreach and diversity and inclusion there. So we want to carry on doing that. And what we did this year in March 2023 is we tried something new and said, okay, we'll do an online hackathon, but if there's a bunch of you working in the same city or the same institute, then book a meeting room, like go and hang out in person, because it's fun socializing. and like, you know, we were saying at the start, like finding other people working nearby who are doing similar stuff, it's that local networking is super powerful. And so we had these kind of distributed hubs, and I was like, oh, maybe we'll get three or four. And I think we had something like 22 different locations all across the world or something. It's crazy. It was really, really successful. And people generally kind of loved it. So basically, we're going to try and do the same thing again this year because it was great. It was a lot of fun.
So March-ish timeframe. And we also have the two summits. So the Boston Summit somewhere in May, probably the week of May 13th. And then Barcelona Summit, probably the week of October 21st.
I haven't actually booked the venues yet, but those are the weeks we're aiming for.
Exactly. Now, there's a bunch of things we didn't have time to touch on that had to do with community updates and things that have been happening. We'll put a list of links in the show notes so that you don't miss out. A lot of it is written up in detail in the blogs and so on anyway. But since we're very rapidly running out of time, wanted to thank you, Phil.
The only one I wanted to give a shout out for is... just a Monday this week, there was a symposium in Cambridge in the UK at the Sanger Institute, mostly organised by Priyanka, who's well known in the Nextflow and NF Core communities, and a few others there. And it was massive. It went out online as well. So check out the Nextflow YouTube channel if you want to catch up on all those videos.
It was
almost as big as the Nextflow Summit. when you say it like that, it's massive interest and really, really good talks. So recommend it.
Very cool. Well, check out the show notes for details and really interesting, useful links. We are going on break for the winter holiday. We'll return in January with a mix of fun and interesting topics. Thank you, Phil. Thank you, everyone, for joining us, listening to us today. And happy holidays.
Yeah. Cheers, all. Happy Christmas.